What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into Lineup Logic, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your loyal host. I am Sean Kane. It is Wednesday, March 29th. Welcome in, my friends. Massive night last night. I told you guys it was going to take 400 to take down a GPP. It was going to take 300 plus to cash. Sure enough, we saw just crazy, crazy scores. I hope you were on the right side of it. It was just one of those nights, man. And honestly, there's a lot of people out there. I know a lot of people are sweating it, and a lot of people are just like, God, man, you know, what a mess. This was kind of brutal for me. You know, rough night. You score 315 and you still don't even cash your 50-50s. You know, that's so frustrating. And I hear that, you know. And at the same time, we had a lot of people who were really, really successful, and I feel really, really happy for them. But, you know, you can't sleep on the fact that it was just a crazy night. I mean, you had massive totals all over the place. You had guys exceeding 5X because they were just not priced properly, you know, really not priced properly, and really, really able to, we were able to take advantage of that in a lot of spots, and take advantage of those matchups, and just, you know, hammer those inefficiencies, and that was really advantageous for the whole Lineup Logic crew, you know. And I think we have to think about that. We have to think about, where do we see pricing inefficiencies in this daily marketplace, as it's called, in a lot of spots? So, you know, we have to give out some shout outs, though. Some amazing shout outs. Anthony Saraceno comes in sixth place in the SWAT. Very happy for you. He tweeted me at one point, he was at first. And was like, oh my God, yes. It was amazing. But to come in sixth place out of 29,000 players at 386, amazing. Ed had a massive spot in the slot, a massive line at 381, and absolutely crushed. So Ed, congratulations. I saw Ed because Ed was in my, Ed was in my Quinn, and you know how you like, you flip up to the top of the Quinn to see, like, okay, what did I miss? Well, I did, and there's Ed. I recognize his handle. I was like, hey, there he is. Nice. And, of course, he comes in sixth place in that Quinn that I was in, the big Quinn tuple up, and 12th place in the SWAT. So, I mean, two Lineup Logic listeners in the top 12 of the slot. I mean, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. 381 and 386. But, of course, everybody in between, amazing numbers from guys, you know, kind of Big Sean, amazing number there. Sly DFS, welcome aboard. Crushing with 370. Stop dropping sleep. Great line, man. Great line. Wish you had put some more money on there, but hey, what are you going to do? And of course, you know, Scott got in the cash. Scott, good to get you back in there, right? Right. Keep it headed in the right direction. Tin Man, welcome aboard. Jason and a couple other guys suffered from Tim Hardaway. That was just such a letdown, especially with the way CJ played. Josh, well done. Colin, nicely done, my friend. Hey, hammer those cash games, Colin. Come on, man. Hammer those cash games. You had a great number. You know, Nathan, great stuff, back in the cash there. Tom, back in the cash. Well done, my friend. You know, just a good night all around. We, you know, it was really, 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 really positive for a lot of people. Really, really pleased that guys got into the cash. And, you know, it just makes me happy because you guys deserve it, man. You know, this is for the fish. This is for the regular guys of DFS. This isn't about, you know, the sharps playing thousands of dollars. We don't play thousands of dollars. People are playing 10, 20, 50 bucks, you know, regular people stuff. So we got a lot to cover, though. Preview of the night to come in the NBA, spreads, injury news. We'll break down all the players on the slate. But before we do that, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so, you know, I was on a lot of the same players that you guys were on. To be honest, and ended up actually strangely enough, ended up rolling out the show lineup in one of my lines. I fell in love with another lineup that cashed 50-50s at 319, but just missed the double up because Julius Randle didn't do anything. The show lineup, strangely enough, I just really liked it. And I didn't want to get away from it. I thought it was really balanced and really, really strong. And, had I gotten a little bit of a better outcome from Boyan, it would have been really nice. I mean, he was owned at 1%, but he just couldn't get anything going in that Laker game. And the Laker game ended up being way more competitive than anyone thought it would be. So we rolled out Dame, Dennis Schroeder. I said, 7K player with 40-point upside, Dennis Schroeder. There he goes. CJ McCollum, out of his mind last night. I would have been happy with 40. He goes for 50. Clay, of course, playing extremely well in that Houston game. He got out to a really hot start, scored like 22 in the first half. That was great to see. Boyan, womp, womp. God, when is the Boyan game coming back? Let's be careful here, because there's going to be a Boyan game and we got to be back on it. Torian Prince, of course, the whole world was on Torian Prince, and Torian Prince went for 7X. Awesome. It was one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. You play a $3,800 player who goes 7X. That said, we also had a lot of lineups that had TJ and Bob Cove, and they crushed too. So not upset about that at all. Draymond goes for 40, of course, or 39. Dario could have done a little bit more, honestly. He had 22 in the first half, and I was really, really happy. And then, of course, Nurk alert, man. Nurk goes absolutely bananas. I mean, listen to this stat line. 33 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. Good gracious. I mean, Portland is cooking right now, dude. Like, they are really, really cooking. And, like, they are gonna be a team to deal with in the West. Like, there's no question about that. Really, really, really exciting to see them play so well. Denver looks a little out of sorts. They gotta honestly feel like maybe they should tighten up the rotation a little bit. Weird. Portland looking really, really sharp there. That was a massive game. Good to have exposure to that. Dame kind of took a back seat. Honestly, Dame took a little bit of a back seat to CJ. CJ scoring that much, Dame just hammering with the ball with CJ and Dame and use and Nurk. That works. Whatever works, and he's a point guard. That's his job, is give the ball to whoever's working, and CJ and Nurk were cooking. So Dame got them the ball and it worked for them. Really, really happy with that night. Again, I think the lesson here in this lineup is, guys, if you were on the wrong side of cash, but you were above 300 and you were above 310, or, I'm looking at my 50-50, 317 as a cash line is insanity. This is the same outcome as is Friday night, okay? This is one of those nights where you can't get bogged down by the fact that you didn't cash on a night when fucking 317 is the cash line. It's, I know that that's little consolation. I know that that's little consolation, and I'm really, really, I'm sorry to say that, I'm looking at the wrong side of cash here, and I'm seeing Notorious from Roto Grinders, Birdwings from Fantasy Labs, a bunch of other sharps who just, these are all guys that I have lost money to in numerous situations. It's just like, you can't do anything about it. Hoop 2410 on the wrong side of cash. These are sharps. Even sharps are out of the cash. You had 300 point scores all the way up to the 73rd place in 100 man 50-50. That's crazy. That means that the chalk went off. And it's one of those nights. You can't get discouraged by that. This is where bankroll management comes into play. You hammer your 50-50s, you play high percentage games, and you take every day in a disciplined approach. And those nights, you take them and you move on. Friday night, I got destroyed because of the same thing, but we had some guys who did really well, but personally got destroyed. it was one of those nights where total outlier performances across the board, and you're either in it or you're not. And luckily a lot of guys were in it, but I don't think people can be discouraged by this high levels of variance. This is variance. This is what happens. You know, this is, we saw such low numbers earlier in March. You know, it was only like 270 to cash. Nobody was hitting value. It was crazy. And now we're seeing these huge bounce back numbers from guys. So I don't think we should be discouraged by it. If you ended up with 300 or 315, you know, and you're just still like just out of cash, like don't get down about it, because, you know, it was your process was good. If you're getting to 300, your process is right. Trust the process over the results. I know that's no consolation, but I want to say that because I know some people are feeling it. All right, but let's not waste too much time. Let's get into the games tonight. Okay, so another big slate tonight, guys. I mean, another really nice slate. A little bit less chalky, a little bit less obvious. Not so many massive totals here, but some really good games to target. Lineup construction going to be a little less obvious than it was last night, to be honest with you. So I think, you know, let's keep that in mind. Let's be careful about it. First game of the night, Atlanta at Philadelphia, 209 total here. Atlanta only favored by one. They scraped out that win against Phoenix last night. I don't think they win that game if Devin Booker plays, but hey, he didn't, and they won, and they needed it. And Minnesota loses by, or excuse me, Indy loses by one, and Charlotte wins. So, you know, Atlanta hanging on here. We're not going to have any mail sap. We are wait and see on Tabo and Kent Bazemore. Bazemore says he's going to play. You know, barring any setbacks, it looks like Bazemore will be back in the lineup, which is fine. I mean, it means he'll get minutes and he'll drop the usage maybe for a guy like Tim Hardaway. But he's not a massive offensive impact player, so I don't think we should be too worried about Bazemore. Tabo would be the one that would really change things in this game. So if Tabo plays, let's keep an eye on that. I'm not sure if he will, but we've got to wait and see about this news in Atlanta to figure out where we want to go with that. Philadelphia side of the ball, gosh, you know, a lot of guys missing. Sergio out, you know, Bayless out. Gerald Henderson may not play again. He didn't play last night in Brooklyn. You know, the backcourt is wide open, you know, for guys like TJ and Stauskas and Bobkov, whereas the front court now is kind of jammed up. Rashawn Holmes, Dario, Sean Long, and Splitter back in the lineup. Splitter got minutes last night. So hard to say where you're going to go, if anywhere, in the Philadelphia front court, which is frustrating. Of course, we can attack, though, the Philadelphia front court with the Atlanta bigs. So no problem with, like, Ersan and Ersan revenge game. No problem with Ersan and Dwight tonight, for sure. Oklahoma City at Orlando, 217 total here. OKC favored by six. No surprise there at all. But a tighter spread from Vegas than I would expect, you know, with Russ going up against one of the worst point guard defenses in the league here. No serious injuries to consider. Jeff Green, he's going to be out, which means, of course, Terrence Ross is going to get 30 minutes and not play defense at all and just shoot threes. So that's what Terrence Ross does, man. Milwaukee, Boston, 210 total here. Boston favored by eight. Milwaukee came back down to earth last night. Really, really showed. I think Charlotte showed that they are human here. And they struggled. I think Boston has a good game. You know, a good situation here to continue to make their push at Cleveland. And let's be clear. They're in first. Cavs are a half a game back. Cavs aren't playing tonight. Celtics beat Milwaukee. They're a game and a half up. First place. They got the one seed, and they would face the Heat. But, I mean, God, don't you think the Cavs would rather play? If I'm the Cavs, I'd rather play the Pacers than the Heat in the first round. You could do away with the Pacers pretty easily. The Heat, not so much. The Heat are good, man. They slow you down. They grind you down. And I think the Celtics would have, you know, the Celtics obviously are better than the Heat, but Celtics could struggle with them. No question. So, but, you know, I think Boston loves home court. They play so well at home, so they would definitely hold on to that one seed. And, God, what a victory for Danny Ainge. He got so much criticism at the break being like, you know, no Paul George, no Jimmy Butler. Well, no, we're the one seed in the East. Why do we need him? Interesting. Guy's good. He's a damn good front office. Charlotte at Toronto, 203 total here. Toronto favored by six at home. Toronto playing out of their mind recently, really, really, and Charlotte just reeling. I don't know what they need. I think they need a new coach and they need some youth. Frank the Tank playing well for them, though. Cody Zeller, oh, just fell flat on his face. And Frank took all his minutes and did all the scoring that Cody was supposed to do. Makes sense, though. You know, makes sense. Frank is the future. Cody Zeller is, at best, a 25 minutes big against, you know, other bigs. I don't love this game. I don't know necessarily how to approach it, and I don't think you have to have shares of it in order to play tonight just because there's other games on the board. It will be competitive, but, you know, like, I'm going to talk about DeMar, for example, in this game. I don't know necessarily how to approach it, and I don't want to force it. I don't want to force my exposure. The guys are priced fairly here. Guys are priced fairly in decent matchups. There's no, you know, real inefficiencies in price ups. There's no massive matchup advantages. So the only thing we're keeping an eye on is Damari Carroll. If he sits again, go ahead and fire up your P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker getting 30 minutes, just doing really, really good work with those minutes. Miami at New York, 209 total here. Miami only favored by 3. New York playing well. Of course, we're going to keep a new eye on the Carmelo Anthony rest news. Lance Thomas likely out here as well. You know, and Deion Waiters out on the Miami side, which means that we have some openings in the Miami backcourt to feel good about. You know, guys like Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Goran Dragic, and of course, Hassan Whiteside with just an absolute beauty of a matchup here. You know, I don't really love Whiteside in cash, but gosh, he has upside. Indiana at Memphis, 196 total here. Memphis needs a win. Good for them to get back home here. Paul George, whoo, he wants that all NBA. He wants that money. And he is good. But God, what is wrong with Indiana? They can't beat Minnesota at home. You know, Minnesota just not that good right now. Didn't have an answer for Karl Anthony Towns. Tom pointed this out on Twitter as soon as the game started. He said, I said, Karl Anthony Towns will be owned below 10%. He said, yep, 9% in my tournament. I was like, yeah, nailed it. So Marc Gasol, we're waiting on the Gasol news. Although, you know, this is another game very similar to the Charlotte-Toronto game. I don't love it. I mean, very low total. Memphis plays incredibly slow at home. So you don't have a lot of possessions. You don't have any massive matchup advantages in this situation. I think you could go to Gasol if he plays, but who knows how healthy he is. You know, we have no problem with Miles Turner. But then again, Gasol's splits at home aren't really that favorable. He plays better on the road. So I don't know necessarily how many shares of this game I want. You've got a really, I mean, it's a fair price for the way Paul George is playing. Mike Conley priced up. You know, Jeff Teague now priced up into the 7. So I don't know how many shares of this game I really want, even though it should be competitive. Dallas and New Orleans, 200-point total. New Orleans favored by 4 at home. We'll keep an eye on the Boogie news to see if he's playing. We also got to keep an eye on the Seth Curry news. The Seth Curry news, if he doesn't play, man, you really got to think about Wes Matthews here in this situation. Really, really, really valuable. Again, another game, low total, low pace. You know, even though Dallas would get the pace differential here, pace bump, New Orleans, Dallas just plays so slow that it's hard to get production out of those guys. And they're stingy on defense. They're really stingy. They're better at home, obviously, but they're stingy on defense. So you kind of worry about your AD exposure, your Cousins exposure. You don't know how much production you're going to get out of those positions. Golden State at San Antonio, baby. Woof. Yeah. I mean, couple things. We were talking about Golden State last night, and was it Mark on Twitter hit me up, and he was like, hey, I'm serious when I say be careful about Golden State blowout. And I kind of shook my head. I was like, I mean, the Rockets are so good. The Rockets are so good. I was like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And then all of a sudden, I look up in the first half, and they're up by 20. Controlled the boat game all the way through. Harden obviously made a push to get him back, but they can bottle up James Harden. He has not scored more than 55 fantasy points against them this year. Golden State is the second best defense in the league. We always look at San Antonio as not a plus matchup. The only thing that's plus about Golden State is that they play at a breakneck pace. But the truth of the matter is that Golden State is ungodly good at defense right now. They are playing so well. And I think that the thing that we're seeing is them regressing to their old form. They're getting their rhythm back. Steph has his swagger back. Steph is out of his mind right now, absolutely out of his mind, playing incredibly well, 30 points just consistently, doing it all across the board. You know, I mean, I just think this is one of those games that you really, really, really have to think closely about. As much as you want exposure to it, you know, the defense is just, it's so good on both sides, you know, and I don't know how much we can take advantage. Guys are priced well here. You know, they're priced fairly. You know, Steph at 9.9 and Kawhi at 9.8. Those are fair prices for these studs, you know, guys who probably have more like a 40-point range of outcomes in this situation. So we got to think about it. We got to think about this game a lot. Like I said, you know, roster construction is not nearly as obvious as it was last night. Last night was just like, oh, this guy, for sure, this guy. You know, and then Draymond had the ankle too. If Draymond doesn't play, that makes this a little bit more interesting. I don't know necessarily how I would attack it. We'd have to do a little bit of research. I think you may get a little bit more exposure to, you know, maybe some LaMarcus Aldridge in this situation. And Kawhi, I think, would make me even, it would make, because you wouldn't have help side defense. It would just basically be Kawhi versus Iggy. You wouldn't have the help for defense. And then, you know, Kawhi running the screen and roll. I think that to me makes it very interesting with no Draymond in the lineup. But he did an ankle, but I don't know if he's going to go out. We'll see. We'll see what they have to say. Washington at the Clippers. God, the Wizards. What happened last night? They must have been partying in L.A., man, and presume they could just crush the Clippers and walk out of there, and they'd have to be better against crush the Lakers, and they'd have to be better against the Clippers. But Washington on the road back-to-back, not getting a lot of love from Vegas. 220 total here, though. This is a nice high total, one of the highest totals on the night, so you absolutely want some shares of this one. I think you got to have some shares of this one for sure. You know, good matchup, should stay competitive all the way down the stretch. I think these two teams match up really, really well. Strong point guard play, you know, decent, good starting five. I think we got to keep an eye on J.J. Redick. No J.J. Redick makes me interested. And I mean, maybe Jamal Crawford or Austin Rivers would probably get the start. But then again, they got to go up against Bradley Beal. And I don't really necessarily see Jamal Crawford or Austin Rivers getting over on Bradley Beal, even though D'Angelo had a game last night. D'Angelo, man. That guy, D'Angelo at the two, is really, really something else. Lakers don't need Lonzo Ball right now. I think he's a distraction. They don't need him. Utah at Sacramento, 194 total here. Utah favored by 7. No favors on the Utah side of the ball, but we got to keep an eye on this Gordon Hayward news. This is a big deal. This Gordon Hayward stuff is really going to affect our exposure to Utah, because you love the matchup. You know they want the win, especially with the Clippers in action here at home. But, you know, you really, really, really have to begin to think about Ingles. You have to think about Hood, and you have to think about Gobert in this matchup against Sacramento if we don't get Hayward. And apparently it was bad. He had to have an x-ray on this thigh bruise, so they thought it might be a broken or a hairline or something. No, none of that, but it's a lot. He's in a lot of pain, and they may let him rest here and see if they can get this win anyway, especially if Rodney Hood is healthy, and he's saying his knee feels a lot better. King's side of the ball, don't care. honestly, don't rest. I mean, if you want to force it, you can, but I just doesn't feel smart. All right, that's what we got. You know, like I said, nice slate, but not nearly as obvious as it was last night, not even close. So let's take a look at the lock and load segment. Let's break down the studs on the slate and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, so at the top of the slate, you know, we're sorting through the studs here. Obviously, a point guard, it's Russ. Man, it just, hello. Russ at 13-1, he's getting Orlando. Orlando bottom 10 in DVP to the point guard. Russ has a 118 implied total. It's the second highest total on the slate. This is the second highest spread on the slate, I believe, behind the Wizards-Clippers game. So, you know, you definitely want exposure. Definitely want some exposure to that. No question about it. You know, I think Russ is in a really hard spot to fade here, but he does need 66 to hit value. The concern that I have is blowout. This Magic team defensively is not strong. We saw the Raptors really, really get over on them. But then again, you Oklahoma City not playing great defense themselves. I think, though, the concern that you have is in a lot of these games where Russ has an incredibly plus matchup and no one can stop him, the game gets lopsided more quickly than we think because he can't take over and just go triple-double like he did against Philadelphia, triple-double in the first, you know, three quarters. And then they just don't have an answer. you know, I think he had 77 against them earlier this year. I'm not kidding about that. One game, 77 points at home. I think if you do go with Russ, then you probably attack the 7K, 6K price range across the slate, and you try to maybe find one or two 4K values to plug in there. You know, you're probably going to miss out on Rudy Gobert. You might miss out on Kawhi. You're definitely out on DeMar. But, you know, that's okay. I think that's okay. Russ at 13-1 is one of the safest investments we have on this slate given matchup. So he's a really, really, really good spot. You know, he is going to get a triple-double here. There's no question in my mind. The Magic allows some of the most highest points, rebounds, and assists to guards on the slate. It's just really hard to fade. You know, I think the pivot in this situation is the John Wall CP3 situation. Now, defensively, that matchup is not ideal. Both of those guys very good defensively. But John Wall already in one, CP3 in one matchup against the Wizards this year already had 40, John Wall had 40 against the Clippers this year. And I cannot remember if he played in that game, but John Wall had 40 against them. So, you know, I think that he's priced well. That's the part of it. You know, it's 9-6 is a good price for John Wall. You take 40 as a floor right there, and you hope that it stays competitive down the stretch and he gets, you know, a lot of good minutes. I don't love him on the road. I don't love him in a back-to-back, but, you know, we do know it's John Wall, and he's playing extremely well. You know, and Chris Paul, he played in one game, and he had 36. And so, you know, you kind of have this 40-point upside with both of these guys. The problem is that for their price, are you paying way too much for 40 points? And it really does feel like you are, especially when you could get into the 7Ks and probably get 40 points out of a, you know, Goran Dragic in a plus matchup, maybe an Elfrid Payton or a Dennis Schroeder in a plus matchup. You know, even a Kemba Walker, who, you know, has recently just kind of been going under the radar, 35, 39, 50, and 37. Plenty of minutes. They just can't win. At some point, they got to stop playing them, you know? But I think Russ, you know, it's hard to fade Russ, man. It's really hard to fade Russell Westbrook on any slate. But, you know, you definitely like him in this spot for sure. So, no problem with Russell Westbrook here whatsoever. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan, I'm off Giannis. That's not a good matchup for him, Boston. They've shut him down this year. You know, a combination of Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, I think they can really, really put him to the test. Giannis is going to struggle with them on the road. So it's DeMar for me, 9-2. DeRozan been really consistent lately. He's super efficient. 40 points feels like a really, really good outcome for him. Charlotte allows some of the most scoring to guards on the slate, but they don't allow in much else, you know, which is great. Okay, they allow a lot of scoring. That's awesome. 43 fantasy points in his last five games. That said, his matchup with Charlotte has been really inconsistent this year. In the first game, he came out in November or December at 45. Great. DeMar DeRozan numbers. Then he had 28, and then he had 13. You know, the thing that we know about attacking Charlotte is you attack them on the perimeter. They allow a ton of three-pointers. They really jam up the middle. They use a lot of their length. I mean, Marvin Williams, MKG, Cody Zeller, Nick Batum, those guys are long. You know, they have a lot of length on their interior, their defense, all above 6'6", those guys. You know, so there's not exactly, it's not like he's playing against Evan Fournier and Alfred Payton and Terrence Ross, who can't guard anybody and are pretty small guys. I think there's limited upside here. And one of the major reasons that there's limited upside for DeRozan is that Charlotte doesn't foul people. Lowest foul rate, lowest foul numbers in the NBA by a significant margin. They only allow 13 fouls per game. They do not foul people. And DeRozan is a free throw magnet. In his ceiling games, you see 10 plus trips to the free throw line. That's when he gets those extra points. You know, he's going to take all his normal attempts, but if he can get 10 free points from the free throw line, that's when he goes above 40. And Charlotte's just not going to let him do that. They only allowed in those last two games when DeRozan struggled against them, he only had 10 free throw attempts in the total. 4 and then 6. That's not enough for DeMar DeRozan. You know, he's not going to shoot the 3 that much. He's going to try to get into that mid-range. He's going to try to draw fouls at the rim. He's going to try to draw contact. And they're just not going to give him that. They're not going to give him that contact. So I think it's okay to step off of DeRozan in this spot and say, you know what? If he goes for 45, then that's fine. I missed. That's fine. But there's a very good possibility that he really only goes for 35, 32 points in this situation. So, you know, I think it's okay to step away. At small forward, Kawhi at 9'8". Finally, Kawhi is priced properly, of course. And I think we got to talk about the rest issue here because I don't know. I mean, this is there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions on this rest issue. And I am very much of the opinion that the league should not meddle in this. I think players deserve rest. I don't want to see a shitty playoffs. And I don't blame players who are trying to bring championships to their hometowns, who are trying to actually be competitive in May after they started a season in October, taking a night or two off per you know, after, like, a guy like LeBron James, man, he's my age. Fucking hurts to get out of bed, dude, some nights. God, I mean, you know, I'm not that old, 30-something, 31, but geez. LeBron plays 38 minutes of basketball a night. He's been doing it for 6 months. That hurts. And, you know, I don't know if Draymond sits. I don't know what the hell Steve Kerr does. I don't think he rests all the Warriors again against the Spurs. The freaking league would have a shit fit. And I think Golden State fans would kind of be like, what are we doing here? So I think they're going to play. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the Spurs side of the ball. The Spurs could rest. Kawhi could sit. And Golden State on a back-to-back, you get the Spurs having to play the Cavs, and then one night later they got to play the Warriors, and now the Warriors play the Rockets, and then they got to play the Spurs on a back-to-back. I mean, that's kind of a lot. League scheduling, what are you guys trying to do? Anyway, two best defensive teams in the league, 1 and 2 in defensive efficiency. This is why they're the best team in the league. This is why the Western Conference Finals champion will win the, in my opinion, will win the NBA championship. I just don't think the Cavs have it this year. They're too banged up. They're too poor defensively. And both of these teams are the opposite. You know, they are playing really well defensively. And even though they got the Kevin Durant injury, they manage their minutes much better than the Cavs have this year. Both teams top 10 in almost every DVP category. The only place that you can attack Golden State is in the front court, but the small forward is actually their best. It's top 10. You know, basically you have this Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala combination against the 3 and the 4, and then you got Matt Barnes off the bench. And before that, all season long, it was Kevin Durant, who can guard everybody. You know, they played in the first game of the year. This was that first game of the year. Golden State had Spurs at home. Kawhi went for 53. But, of course, Kawhi going for 53 in November is very different. Kawhi with fresh legs in November is very different than Kawhi in March, end of March. You know, I don't know if we can expect 53 here, and I don't think it's a fair indicator. So that doesn't really tell me much. I think we can expect a 40-point floor. I think that we can expect 42 probably, because at home in a plus pace situation, that's what he's averaged this year. You know, he's not going to have nearly as easy against the Cavs. He's not going to go for 37 points, 47 fantasy points, and then, you know, not even really have to play in the fourth quarter. It's just not going to happen. So I think, though, that we can expect 40-plus from Kawhi. The question is you have to have 49 from him to hit value. Do you think he can get to 49? Or do you just say, this is the best use of my 9K on this slate? It's better than DeMar. It's better than Steph. It's better than it's better than John Wall. You know, this is the best use. That's who you're comparing it to. I think it is better than DeMar. I think Kawhi is a better investment than DeMar in this situation, given pace, given competitive nature of it, given the whole DeMar free throw thing. I don't know if it's a better use than Steph. And I don't know about John Wall. Honestly, I can't, because positional scarcity also comes in. Point guard is loaded tonight. Small forward is pretty shitty. So, one of those situations. I'm telling you, roster construction is a bitch. Think about it. Quiet 48 points. Let's look real quick. Let me see when Kawhi scores 48 points. Hold on one second. Look this up real quick. Let me see when he does this. Because if my memory tells me correctly, 48 points means that Kawhi is going to have to basically score over 30, and he's going to have to do the assist thing and do the steals thing. 37 in the last five for Kawhi, okay? Coming off a rest, obviously he averaged, well, that's good news. Averages 43 coming off a rest. That's a nice bump, okay? But we need 48 from him. Okay, so anytime he went over 48, Jazz, Wolves, Cavs, Blazers, Pacers, Knicks, Warriors. Yeah, obviously the Warriors, we saw that game. Okay, so those are kind of the situations when he goes over 48. You know, Nets, he went over 48 against the Nets. Oh, who cares? You know, it's a combination of competitive games, headline games, and, you know, and poor defense too. The Cavs games, poor defense there. A Knicks, poor defense. Portland, poor defense. You know, but also competitive games. Those are his 30-point scoring nights when he has to play a lot of competitive minutes. It's no surprise that his bottom, you know, performances are against teams that are either really, really solid defensively or just really poor in general. That, you know, like teams like the Magic, he doesn't perform that much. Against the Grizzlies, he didn't perform that much, you know. Against the Clippers, he didn't play that well. Against the but against, you know, teams like the Hornets and the Kings, that they blow those guys out, then he doesn't really have to play that much. So, you know, Kawhi, I don't know. It's an interesting, it's a question of judgment. It's up to you. At power forward, it's Anthony Davis at 11-7. He's going to Dallas, or he's getting Dallas at home. He's elite, man. I don't think you should doubt him at all. He scored 70 against the best defensive center in the league. Probably defensive player of the year. I don't know how Rudy Gobert wasn't an all-star, but he's the best defensive player right now. I guess Draymond Green should get some consideration, but Rudy Gobert is an animal. You know, the metrics, the advanced metrics show it, and Anthony Davis went for 70 fantasy points against him. You know, he's got a very stingy Dallas front court, -6 in pace differential. Ugh. You know, it's just gross. But he does have three really nice matchups against them. He went for 59, he went for 60, he went for 51 against them this year. You know, that was before there was a pre-Boogie era. I don't think we should set the floor lower than 50 for AD, but I don't necessarily think that we can set the floor much higher than, or the ceiling much higher than 60. Dallas just is too slow. There's not enough possessions there. You know, and especially if Boogie is back, I just don't see it. I think it's GPP only. You know, 11-7, his price is back up. It was really nice when it was in the 10 range. That was just too cheap for him. But this is a price where you're asking him again to get above 55. And above 55 isn't crazy in a good matchup, but above 55 against a really slow Dallas team that just loves to drip down the floor and limit your possessions and take up the shot clock and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They have no problem double-teaming Anthony Davis. They will double-team Anthony Davis all day and let New Orleans shoot the three. That's what they'll do. That's what they do against elite bigs. They allow 3-point shooting, but Carlisle will not allow you to get beat inside. And I absolutely see them doubling, you know, Harrison Barnes help side under with Nerlens on AD. Absolutely. Absolutely. Give up the 3 to Solomon Hill. Who cares? Carlisle's smart, man. Rudy at 9-1. He has Sacramento. That's their center here. Rudy has left the 8K range, guys. It's like watching your child go to college. You're very happy for them, but you're sad for yourself. You know, it's just kind of one of those moments where things have changed. The times, they are changing. Rudy Gobert is elite. The news is out. You know, the league knows it now, and I'm really happy for him. I'm sad for us, of those of us who have been using him for fantasy purposes, because he was undervalued. But hey, double-double in the last 6 games. He's averaged 50 in the last 5, with Hayward and Favors off the court. Hood and Hill lead the team in usage, but Gobert leads the team with over a fantasy point per minute. So I think if Hayward's out, I think you have to fire him up. Honestly, Favors is already out. If Hayward is out, though, I think you really have to fire up Gobert. Late hammer for sure. He just had 56 against Sacramento the other night, last week. The other thing is like, center is loaded. So I have no problem starting with Rudy and saying, okay, I definitely would spend for Rudy, but you have to, I think you really have to basically say, I'm going to spend somewhere between Rudy and Dwight and not go below there. There's just no point. Centers have been so productive this right now, and it's a great, great way to get yourself a rock solid score at the bottom of your lineup. And punting center isn't the same as it once was. If you're playing DK, go ahead and do 2 centers for me. Go ahead. Thanks. Maybe Rudy and Dwight. Oof, man. If I get Rudy and Dwight in the same lineup, baby. Love that. Okay, so that's center. No problem with Gobert, but let's keep an eye on the news before we jump to roster him. You know, is he a better use of your 9K? Yeah, probably. Over Kawhi? Yeah. Yeah, probably. Honestly, probably is, to be honest with you. I have no problem with him over Kawhi Leonard in this spot because, you know, just defensively, Sacramento just isn't as good. You know, I mean, that's not hard to say. Sacramento's not good at defense, guys. They're not. It's just that simple. So, we're going to look hard at Rudy, especially if we get good news. Fantasy Grout, mid-price guys, filling them in the 5 to 8K range. These are the guys you fill in around your studs, around your value plays. This is where we want 5K guys who can go for 30 and 7K guys who can go for 40. That's what you're targeting. Underpriced inefficiencies in the market. And I think the way that you determine that is you look to know where a guy's ceiling is based on plus matchups, based on good situations. And then you ask yourself, listen, if he's a 5K guy, can he score 5 extra points in this situation? 5 extra points is not much. You're asking me to go 6X. 5 extra points is not much. 2 extra buckets, one extra rebound putback, for example. A 7K guy needs 7 extra points to go 6X in this situation. That's not crazy, especially if they have the minutes there. They're in starters. They want starters' minutes or in competitive game situations. That's not a crazy, crazy idea at all. So let's go ahead and look. Let's look at point guard here. We've got 3 really solid options. And like I said, point guard is really, really loaded. If you're not going with Russ, then I think this is where you go. Although it's really hard to not look at that mid-tier either of Chris Paul and that kind of second elite tier of Steph, Chris Paul, and John Wall. So many good point guards on this slate. But anyway, the mid-tier, the 7Ks, you got Goran Dragic at 7'5", Elf at 7'2", Dennis Schroeder at 7'2". I said this yesterday. You give me a reason to roster Elf and Schroeder, I'm going to do it. Dragic, he's got the Knicks. I love his matchup. He only needs 37 points to hit value. He almost went for 40 last night. He had 43 against the Knicks earlier this year. He's been very productive with them this year. The weird thing about the Knicks is actually they have been very good against the point guard recently. Top 10 DVP to the point guard, but their defensive efficiency in general is just brutal. Really strange. I guess Derrick Rose is playing well. I'm not really sure. Defensively, maybe he's just playing well. You know, mediocre situation on paper for Dragic, but a good situation as far as just playing a poor defense and, you know, being in a good situation, good matchup history here, and, you know, in a game that they want to win. You know, so I don't mind Goran Dragic at all here. And then you go down to Schroeder and Alf, two of my favorite point guards in the world. OKC, very average against the point guard. Philadelphia, very average against the point guard. Elf had 50 against Westbrook earlier this year, which is crazy. But, you know, people call him like Little Westy because he does these triple-double things. He can really stuff the stat sheet. I think this is the kind of game where Alfred Payton like likes to prove himself and show his mettle. Schroeder has averaged 32 against the 76ers, three games, very consistent against them, never going below 31 points. He had 31, 33, 34. Or 31, 32, and 34 against them. High minutes, good prices, solid recent performances from both of them. You know, I think the tiebreaker between Schroeder as Elf is I would go to Schroeder if we get some Hawks that are out. If we get more Hawks out of the lineup, then I think you go Schroeder. It's absolutely a good spot to go to him. But Alfred has the higher total, higher pace. So it's kind of a wait and see. That's the differentiator, you know. If you get no Hawks in the lineup, then I think you go Elf. If the Hawks are all in there, then I think you can go to Schroeder. So that's where I'm at with that. At shooting guard, mid-tier is okay. I think the value tier is better today, to be honest with you. You have Depot and Tim Hardaway Jr. Now, I know people are pissed about Tim Hardaway Jr. I have no problem with you not going back to THJ in this situation. Honestly, no issue with that whatsoever. Hardaway just burned people last night. So, but Depot revenge game. I think the problem with old Depot is that in games when Russ really, really goes off and they don't have to be that competitive because the other team really isn't putting up a lot of defensive resistance, Depot doesn't really do that much. He just kind of plays some defense, runs the floor. That's it. And then they kind of don't really give him extra minutes because they let the bench run. You know, I don't think you have any problem starting Depot, but I also don't have any problem fading him. And at 6K, he never really has a ceiling. This isn't a 6K guy that's going to go for 40. This isn't TJ Warren. This is Victor Oladipo, who probably most reasonably has an outcome between 23 and 31, which it's fine for cash games. He's consistent, but it's not really that sexy. You know, Orlando is bottom 10 in the DVP to the shooting guard. They're bottom 5 in the last 5. They allow 45 to the position. So it's all there for Oladipo. It's just, he doesn't really do that much. You know, limited ceiling for sure. It just doesn't really turn me on that much. THJ obviously burned us last night, okay? But that was TJ Warren defense. That's what I think I realized. Like, without Devin Booker in the lineup, they shifted TJ Warren onto Tim Hardaway Jr., and a lot of that usage went over to Dennis Schroeder and Ersan. And TJ Warren is a good defender. And he just took Tim Hardaway out of the game. 76ers, though, are a great matchup, right? On the wing, you can really attack them. You know, I think we do think Bazemore is going to be back. But I will say this. That doesn't really necessarily affect THJ because he runs the 2 and Bazemore runs the 3. It'll affect Torian Prince, I think, more. Well, they'll kind of go halvesies on minutes, and Prince won't get 30 minutes. But we got to wait and see. We got to wait and see what the Hawks injury report looks like today. 76ers, bottom 10 in DVP to the position as well. Hardaway went for a fantasy point per minute last time he went out against them. 26 minutes, 26 fantasy points. You know, I think you wait and see about the Hawks injury report before you go back to him, but he is a solid cash game play. The logic is there. I recognize that it's scary, but it's a sound decision. It's a sound decision. At small forward, we get two options here, Paul George and Bob Covington. I'm not in love with either of them, okay? Paul George is now he's on my permanent fade list. I have to fade him basically until I was right and his price go back down. Because I keep missing. I keep talking about how I'm not that interested, and he just keeps going off. He went for 40 in the first half. I said he would go for 40. He went for 40 in the first half. But honestly, I don't know what to expect out of Memphis. Memphis top five and small forward. But then again, I think about their matchup here. I don't know who's going to guard him. It's probably going to be Tony Allen, right? They're at home. They're very efficient at home. Super low total, super low pace. You know, it doesn't scare me when I think about who's going to guard Paul George and the way that he's playing right now. You know, and I think Paul George easily 35, 40 points, but I think his upside is limited in this situation, given the fact that Memphis plays so slow and Memphis plays a lot better defense than Minnesota. And even Minnesota limited Paul George in the second half. I mean, the 37 points in the first half, but only, you know, 18 in the second half. So, you know, they're a great team defensive unit. You know, I think they can figure out a way to stop their best player is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think that the Grizz can figure out how to stop your best player. You already played him once this year, and he only had 28 points. So, clearly they can figure out how to stop Paul George, close out on that shooting, and make sure that he doesn't get a lot of free open looks. I think you can go down to Bob Covington, but I don't think that he's nearly as exciting as he was last night. I'm going to be honest with you. I know Bob Cov was an amazing position last night. You know, and we had all sorts of love, you know, Bob Cov love, no question. And he did amazing stuff, but that was a Bob Cov in a pace-up game. Bob Cov in a pace-up game with a limited backcourt roster. He got tons of minutes. He played extremely well. You know, he, however, had 32 in the most recent matchup against the 76ers. You know, no Tabo on the floor there. I think it's reasonable. You know, part of the reason that we liked him last night, honestly, was pace. And this just doesn't have the same pace. Atlanta just doesn't play the same pace. It's not even close to the same total. It was over 220 last night, and tonight he's playing in a 209 game. It's just not even close to the same. So you don't have the same pace. You don't have the same total. I think you have to reduce your expectations for Bob Covington here, and I think you probably put him closer to 30. And, you know, at the price that he's at, 30 is fine. You know, 6'7", you want a little bit closer to 35, but he's almost at 5X there. You know, but I think that we have to temper our expectations in this situation just a touch. You know, and I think if you're going Kawhi, then you don't necessarily have to go with, you know, Bob Covington. I don't know. That's that. Sorry, guys. Mid-tier's a small forward. It's not like last night where the mid-tier was amazing. You know, and I would love to be able to say we can, by the way, at shooting guard, I would love to be able to say we can go to Clay and Brad Beal. But I just don't know how much we can. And Nick Batum just hasn't done anything. We gotta wait for Nick Batum to bounce back. I don't know where he is right now. I'm not sure. And Avery Bradley is great. But Avery Bradley is, you know, 6'2". He's very similar to, he's very, very, very similar to, what's his name? To Oladipo, you know, you could pay for him and he could very happily go out and get 22 points and they win the game anyway. You know, that's the thing about Avery Bradley. So I think you do have to go down and look into the value tier to feel like you have a little bit more meat on the bone there. In some of these matchups. So that's where I'm at with shooting guard and small forward. I think there's just too much value at small forward to really pay up. You know, it's Kawhi, but then the mid tier, you know, Chris Middleton, not doing much. Jay Crowder, not doing much. Otto Porter, definitely not doing much. Harrison Barnes, maybe okay against New Orleans. You know, he had 28 against New Orleans recently, but like, God, I mean, we know what Harrison Barnes can do. He can disappear. 13, 14 point floor. He's got three games where he had 13 points in the last six. I don't want that shit. You know, I mean, yes, he could score more, especially if we get no Seth Curry, but like, he could also just take another dump on the slate and you're just like, oh my God, why Harrison Barnes? Why? So anyway, at power forward though, we got a couple more options to work with. Power forward is nicer in the mid tier for sure. I got to talk about Blake at 8'6" because I think people are going to be like, ooh, Blake, low price. Nice. This is really nice. You attack front court, you know, Blake. attack the front court of Washington. But let's be honest about what's happening with Blake here, okay? 8-6 is a high price to pay for a guy who hasn't scored more than 30 points in the last five games, okay? He had 40 against New York. I could have 40 against New York, okay? He just isn't doing anything, especially in games when they need him. I mean, they need him against Sacramento. They need him against Utah. They need him against Dallas. He's not doing anything. He's not doing anything. They lose that game in Dallas. They lose the game in Sacramento. He just is, it just doesn't interest me as a fantasy asset right now. He's too expensive. He's too inconsistent. He's, you know, yes, he's at home. Yes, he's rested, but I'll wait and see, because I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing not necessarily a regression situation. Obviously, we know Blake can go for 40. But the question is, by the way, he needs 45 to almost hit value in this situation. It looks more like there's a role situation here. 30 minutes, 20 points, 5 rebounds. That's kind of what he's doing lately. He's not rebounding. DeAndre's doing all the rebounding. You know, he's not ball handling. He's not running the break. He's barely cracking 20 real life points. I just don't think it's a slam dunk. Yes, he had a great game against the Knicks. Everybody has great games against the Knicks front court. He didn't have a game against the Lakers. He had a terrible game against the Lakers. And he played the same minutes. You know, I mean, what's the difference between the Knicks and the Lakers there? I just don't see. He's too inconsistent. I don't think you have to pay for him. If you miss, you miss. Fine. Blake goes for 40. Fine. Find your exposure somewhere else to someone you know will go for 5X. James Johnson, though, is one of those guys. 6'2", getting the Knicks. I think we could go back to the well here. He's just a great cash game play. 32 points against the Knicks front court. Easy. 32 minutes in the last, basically over 30 minutes in the last five games. 30 fantasy points on the nose in the last five games. New York is one of the biggest bumps on the slate for bigs. You know, we know we can attack the front court there. James Johnson, huge usage differential with no waiters on the floor. I really like Johnson in one of the higher totals on the night, and he gets a plus pace differential going to New York in this spot. So give me some Johnson. I have no problem with him in this situation at all. The other guys that I like are Enes Kanter at 5'7". He's in a great spot. He gets great second unit run. He's coming off of rest. He already had 28 against Orlando once this year. That's perfect 5X value right there. You know, and in a blowout situation, Kanter gets amazing usage in run on the second unit. We saw it against Philadelphia. Positive front court matchup. Kanter can play really, really, really well, especially in a high total, high pace game. And that's when he excels. He does poorly in low, slow games, you know, like he played badly in that Dallas game, but he played really well against Golden State, you know. We have a nice pace here. We have a nice total. We have a nice matchup for Kanter. So I think it's a good spot for Kanter. I think 5X is very easily in his future. At center, this is, guys, what I'm telling you. You got to pay anywhere from Dwight and above for center tonight. And I think you could go to any of these guys. There's four guys that I like. There's, you know, obviously starting with Rudy, but then you go down the list as well. I think you can go to Whiteside happily. Whiteside getting the Knicks, amazing matchup here. Minutes are safe. You know, he's hard to trust in cash games, but he's been consistently doing 40 points, and he already had 49 once against the Knicks earlier this year. You know, I think if you're bouncing between Rudy and Whiteside, it's a toss-up. Very similar range of outcomes. It just kind of depends on who you trust more, who you like more. You know, either one, they're very close in price. You know, it's not going to break you. You know, if you can get someone else in by going down to Whiteside over Rudy Gobert, fine, do that. You know, 300 points could be the difference for you between the shooting guard that you like and you don't like, or point guard or whatever. So, you know, keep that in mind. I think then you go next guy down is DeAndre. If I'm taking exposure to the Clippers-Washington game, this is one of my favorite spots to get exposure. DeAndre Jordan at 7'9 is in a really, really, really good position. And talk about a guy who's a little bit more consistent than Dwight. I mean, he's actually outscored Dwight in a couple of his recent games, and he's priced better than him. The front court matchup isn't just a good situation for Dwight. You know, it's a really good situation for DeAndre, too. He you know, similar to Dwight in the last four games, 29-41. 28-37. You know, the reason is that DeAndre rebounds. That's the reason. Same kind of range of point scoring, but he's had double doubles in the last 5 games. Double doubles, excuse me, no double double against Utah, but he had double doubles in all those other games. 5 games of the last 6, he's had double doubles. And we know we can attack Washington at the center. Ivica Zubac had a really nice game before he got yanked last night. He had 22 points in like 20 minutes. And you know, we've seen Gortat slowing down in a major way. And they played a ton of minutes last night. Washington currently below average against the center, giving up 47 points, you know, same as Sacramento, for example. You know, we play DeAndre against Sacramento, right? We play him against Sacramento. We have no problem. I don't know why we wouldn't play, play them against Washington. Washington giving up 52 in the last 10 to the center. That's bottom 10, just as bad as Phoenix, you know, almost. So, you know, there's definitely a below average, above average opportunity for DeAndre here at 7-9. The last one is, of course, Dwight. Dwight at 7-2 is just such a boner against Philly. 76ers just don't defend the center. We saw Brolo go bananas last night against them. You know, Scott Kingsguard tweeted out, in 5 minutes of play, Brook Lopez has 8 points, 2 assists, 1 block, and a steal. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, Brook Lopez had 48 against them last night at 6-7. So no problem with Dwight. That said, Dwight will be the chalkiest center on the slate. You know, no question, Dwight will be the chalkiest center on the slate. Although he has already crushed, I believe, if I remember correctly, he's already crushed value against them. You know, I think he's going to be the top of the, basically, he's going to be the top center in all the optimizers and stuff like that. You know, will he go for 50? I'm not really sure. He hasn't done it. Even with Millsap out of the lineup, he's only broken 40 twice, once last night, which is really nice. You know, and I think people will be on him, and it's an easy way to differentiate yourself to say, okay, that's fine. Then I'm going to pay up for one of these guys that I really like. And, you know, I think that's very, very, very viable. You know, and so yeah, the last game against the 76ers, he had 35, 5X on the nose. Of course, Millsap was in that game. So I don't think 35 is out of the question for Dwight. But, you know, I think it's an easy way to differentiate yourself because the world will be on him easily on him. So, but I don't think you go much lower than that for center. All right, let's barge into the bargain basement. Speaking of going lower than that, 5K and below, let's talk. Point guard Tyler Johnson is not 5K or below, he's 6K, but I don't think you necessarily need to fade him. He's been playing excellent, aside from his most recent game. He's just been playing really, really well. At 6-1, he's in a really, really good spot, getting 30 minutes, basically filling in that second unit for Miami. You know, 40-point upside in a lot of these situations. And you know, just playing extremely well with no waiters in the lineup. Now, the issue is you do have a floor. He has shown some ugly, ugly performances. You know, in the last 10, he had a 9-pointer, a 13-pointer, and a 7-pointer, while simultaneously having a 38 and a 35-pointer in some of those. So, you know, temper your expectations a little bit for Tyler Johnson, but he is in a good position against the Knicks backcourt for sure, especially against that second unit. And sometimes he runs the two off of Dragic, which is nice because we do attack the shooting guard there. The other point guards that we have in play, obviously TJ McConnell with no Sergio in the lineup, getting Atlanta. That's a great spot to attack. You know, no problem with that at all. I have no issue going there to TJ. He is in an excellent position to succeed tonight against Atlanta. And we saw Tyler Ulis go for exceed value against Schroeder last night. So very, very possible, especially with the minutes that TJ is going to get. He went for 30 against Brooklyn, similar plus matchup. You know, we know he, without Sergio in the lineup, he took 35 minutes. That's good. You take that from your point guard. It's a value point guard getting in a plus matchup with tons of minutes. You take that. and then Corey Joseph. Okay, fine. He's there. Do you want him? He's going to do 20, 20 plus, so that's easy. Wes Matthews at shooting guard, Josh Richardson, Rodney Hood. Those are my three favorites. Wes Matthews almost becomes not a must. He's definitely not a must because Dallas is so slow and annoying and boring that he's not a must. But he's a really good value at 4,500. 25 points, more or less, flirting with that in the last couple games. Josh Richardson at 46 is also a very good value. Going up, similar outcomes right now. Going up against New York, very plus matchup. Higher total, higher pace in that game, too, which you like. So that those are both good spots to go. But then I think Rodney Hood is also in play. If Hayward doesn't play, then I think Rodney Hood is a must fire up. You know I have a couple guys that I really, really have said we got to fire them up if Hayward doesn't play. And Hood is one of them. You know, he had a massive game against New Orleans just back. You know, and I was on him basically because I knew that he was going to have to regress soon. And against Sacramento, he absolutely has an opportunity to do that. We know that they allow shooting. We know that they're not good against the two. We've seen them give up massive numbers to shooters over the last couple games. You know, and he had 30 minutes against Sacramento a couple weeks ago and put up 35 points. Now, he is high risk, high reward because people are scared of him. And I do think people will be on him tonight for sure because that's what they do. They chase. Everybody chases. So Rodney Hood is interesting also. At small forward, you get a ton of options down here. You get Terrence Ross at 4-3, PJ Tucker at 4-3, Jingle Bear at 4-3, and Joe Johnson at 4K. Now, I don't know about Torian Prince. I don't know if we can go back to him yet. If he gets the start, maybe we can. 3-8, that's a really nice price for a guy who's proven that he has NBA quality talent. But Terrence Ross in play, obviously getting a lot of minutes with no Jeff Green. He just kind of meh, you know, kind of meh. You know, but a good matchup, I guess. You know, they're going to need some scoring from him in Oklahoma City. I'm not really sure if he can do it against Andre Roberson, who is a plus defender. PJ Tucker is in play if Damari Carroll is out, for sure. Tucker playing really well with Carroll out of the lineup, but there's no reason to play him if Carroll's back in the lineup. He won't have to do as much offensively, and him and Carroll kind of play the same role, so he'll take a minutes drop there. And Jingle Bear, 100% Jingle Bear, if we know that Hayward is out. Now, if you get scared off of Jingle Bear, you can go down to Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson playing those minutes off instead of, what's his name? Instead of, he's filling in for Favors. Excuse me. Yeah, Joe Johnson will get minutes without Favors in the lineup, and he's been playing really well, right? 19 against New York, 23 against the Clips, 30 against New Orleans. You know, I mean, he's a veteran. He's getting 25 to 30 minutes in these situations, and he basically, you know, he's not going to give you a goose egg. You know that. And at 4K, you'll take 25 minutes from that guy. But I think we got to, you know, the small forward situation is kind of a wait and see, but you can easily go with two punts at small forward if you want to spend up in other places on the slate. I have no problem with that. At power forward, the lowest that I'm going is Ersan Ilyasova, and that's it. I'm not going below that. Honestly, I'm not. I don't really see any reason to. Some of these guys scare me. I think you're forcing it if you go too much lower than that because there's a lot of good value in the fives and the sixes and the sevens. Fives and sixes, really. I mean, guys like Frank the Tank are in play. Ersan is in play. But you go down to Scala Bassier, and, you know, I mean, I don't know how to say that name. Anyway, Scal. Against Utah, don't need to force it. You know, Jamichael Green, don't need to force it. You know, I just, maybe David West, if Draymond is out, but West gets limited minutes, you know, it's one of these things. Like, I just don't think you need to go much further down than Ersan. And Ersan, of course, has the, you know, revenge game narrative against Philadelphia here. You know, I don't know, road back to back, but at the same time, he should be able to produce against one of the worst front courts in the league, against guys that he knows and he's practiced against. I don't really think and he did it last night. He had 30 against last night. So I don't really see any reason not to play Ersan in this situation. You know, we saw Nurk revenge game, Ersan revenge game. So that's about as low as I'm going to go. And like I said, at center, I do recommend you pay from Dwight up. I do recommend that, but I think if you want to go past Dwight, your option at center is pretty much just Guillermo Hernan Gomez. that's it for me. I don't really want anybody else. I don't really want anybody else besides Hernan Gomez. You know, I mean, I think you're forcing it if you go down too far to some of these other guys. And I'm not that interested in forcing it at center when you have just four excellent options at very, very reasonable prices. You know, I think that that's what you do. You take one of those, you take your Dwight, DeAndre, Whiteside, or Gobert, and you're very happy with them. I'm even happy with Vooch. I mean, if Vooch is there for you, doesn't matter to me, but, that's where I'm at with this slate, guys. That's where I'm at with this slate. So, you know, like I said, it's not a home run like last night. Like, it's not a very, very clear, like, oh my God, we have to play this guy. You know, it's just not that case. So, let's take a look at lineup lock. Let's figure out how we can build a cash core here and figure out where we want our starting place for our lineups tonight. Okay, so I've got a couple lineup ideas here. The first is a Russ lineup, okay? And this is a lineup, I feel comfortable with this lineup for sure. I think it's really pretty solid. I'm spending up at the top and at the bottom of the slate, point guards and then bigs I'm spending up on. Kind of taking the values in the middle, which I feel good about. I'll tell you guys what's going on here. So there's two things that I'm doing this lineup. One is I'm assuming Hayward is out. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to assume that that's true. Because it seems like it's a pretty serious injury and it's just Sacramento. So I'm not really sure, but I'm going to assume. And that starts with Russ. Okay. So I have Russ. And then it's shooting guard. I've been really locked on to these two guys. Josh Richardson and Rodney Hood just feel like really, really solid options. And they're kind of, you know, they're the combination of starter plus value that you really like. You know, starters minutes, 30 minutes plus value. In that situation that you really like. And I think that they're in both good situations and two of the best DVP situations on this slate as far as shooting guard goes, because I just don't necessarily think that Oladipo or Tim Hardaway Jr. is really going to exceed value much more than these guys. But I don't know. Tim Hardaway Jr. is still in a really nice matchup as well. See, he would probably be the next guy that I would go up to in this situation. So I have Russ. I have Josh Richardson, Rodney Hood. And then, like I said, I'm spending down. I'm going power forward. I'm doing James Johnson, Enes Kanter, and I'm doing Rudy Gobert. Now, at small forward, this is pretty nice, okay? Terrence Ross and Joe Ingles. Starters minutes is, again, the Hayward assumption. When you go with Terrence Ross and Joe Ingles, that allows you to spend all the way up to Chris Paul as your second point guard. Now, I don't know how much I love Chris Paul in this situation, but I do like him at home. I do like him against a kind of tired Washington team, and I think that he's at a good price point. I don't think 44 points from Chris Paul in this situation is crazy, especially if he gets full minutes. You know, if we're seeing Chris Paul in full minutes against Washington, even though they're very solid DVP, I do think we can set his floor at... I think we can set his floor at 40, you know, and then assume that maybe because this is a competitive game that he may be able to get above that. I don't know, though. It's not my favorite play on the slate. So kind of a tricky spot to go with there. But it's Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Josh Richardson, Rodney Hood, Terrence Ross, Joe Ingles, James Johnson, Enes Kanter, Rudy Gobert. Now, that said, there's a couple other things that we can do here. We can get off Rudy, okay? We can get off Rudy and save and go down to Dwight. We can get off Chris Paul. We can save and we can go to... We can get off Chris Paul and we can go to one of my favorite 7-2 guys, let's go to Elf, for example. Okay. So we get Dwight, we get Elf in the lineup. Now it's going to free up a lot of cash. And my instinct tells me that we want to go to, that we really, really want to go to Kauai in this spot. And actually, I don't know if we can go to Kauai. Actually, hold on. Oh, I know what we need to do. We can't, we can go to Kauai, but we can't go to Elf. We got to go to, where is he? DJ TJ McConnell. Okay. And then, yeah, this is how I swung this earlier. And then you can go with, Russ, TJ McConnell, Josh Richardson, Rodney Hood, Kawhi, Joe Ingles, James Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, Dwight Howard. That's a really appealing lineup as well. Okay, that's a really, really appealing lineup as well. Now, there is a last possibility here. One more possibility. Let me show you guys what this is. Where we change out our center and we change out our point guards one last time. If you really want to go to Rudy Gobert, you go to Rudy Gobert, okay? And then you have the opportunity to get, you can get Elf and Schroeder. Or no, what did I do? No, that wasn't it. Sorry, I had a bunch of different ideas here that we were on. Oh, here it is. It was Chris Paul and Goran Dragic. And then this one is actually really nice and balanced. I really like this one a lot, actually. Here it is. Okay, so it was Chris Paul, Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Rodney Hood, Kawhi, Joe Ingles, James Johnson, Enes Kanter, and Rudy Gobert. Really pretty sexy there. That's pretty sexy. You have 40-point upside at the top, okay, from both of those guys. Rodney Hood and Josh Richardson, right? 25 points, hopefully, from those guys. Kawhi with a ceiling. Joe Ingles because of no Hayward in the lineup. Johnson and Kanter with 30-plus upside, and then Rudy Gobert, a nice pivot for center. But I guess, if you want to go with Russ, you can do Russ and Kawhi in this slate, And if you want to spend up a shooting guard, I understand that. You can absolutely get DeRozan in your lineup. I think, guys, there's a couple things that I want to be clear about. There's a lot of options on this slate. There's a lot of good ways to go. Russ is in a really good spot. Rudy is in a really good spot. But I think you also need to be news dependent. We need to make our decisions based on news that we get. So keep your eyes peeled on news. I'm going to probably be away from the Slack channel this afternoon or this evening. I have to go to a dinner at 6 o'clock. So I'm not going to be there to answer too many questions. But Josh, I know Inspector and KG will be out there. So fire away with them, get some help there. But, that's where we're at today, guys. Good luck in your contest tonight. Hit me up on Twitter throughout the day. Let's figure this slate out and let's talk about it. All right. And, I will talk to you tomorrow.